The title of today's sermon is The Last Days of America. It was only 10 days ago that the administration of our country changed. It seems like a bit longer to me because so much has taken place. And I'd like to add that it did not change for the better. And for that, I am sorely disappointed. Now, America as an empire is in decline. Not only am I disappointed, but some 75 to 125 million hardworking Americans are disillusioned at what was foisted upon them. In today's sermon, we're going to be looking at the state of the church and the nation as we seem determined to take the plunge over the precipice. But our great God on His sovereign throne knows better than we do. And His plan, not ours, is right on schedule. All things are not continuing as they have before. It is He, the Most High Creator God, who rules the earth and sets up our leaders, the basest of men, as we read in Daniel 4 and verse 17. He's done that so many times before. Brethren, we are just that close to losing the blessings of Abraham that God has bestowed on America. Genesis 22 in verse 17. These are verses that you're very familiar with. They are the promise that we in God's church know so well, that our country, this great country, is not made great by our hands, but because God has made it great in response to the conversation and the promises He had with Abraham some many years ago. Genesis 22 and verse 17, God says, "In blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the sea, and your children shall possess the gate of his enemies." So God is saying that the numbers in the end time are going to be great. They're almost unimaginably large to us. We can't think in terms of billions. Genesis 22 and verse 18. "And in your children, Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Abraham is the one who was obedient. And God promised to bless him greatly, and more specifically, his children who would come after him. Brethren, we have seen it. We have seen those blessings. We have been blessed to live those blessings. God has not blessed the entire globe in the same way that He has blessed the children of Abraham. That's the United States and Britain and all the nations that are associated with those. God has not blessed the entire globe in the same way that He has blessed His people Israel. God has unmistakably blessed only the birthright nations of Ephraim and Manasseh, as He promised Abraham He would do. The world doesn't know that, but we know where our national blessings come from. Our national blessings, the ones that are bestowed on our nations. Americans have received from God Almighty more great physical blessings of freedom, wealth, military power than any nation on the earth has ever enjoyed. We have had our 4 years of national greatness. And brethren, we say to God, for that we are exceedingly grateful. Middle class family income has increased more than 5 times the gains during the entire previous administration. More Americans were employed in that last 4 years than ever before, nearly 160 million workers. The American economy experienced the most rapid gross domestic product growth ever recorded. It was like God was opening the windows of heaven and everything was blossoming. An indicator of the financial strength of America is the Dow Jones average. It closed above 20,000 just a little over 3 years ago. And in 3 years, the Dow Jones average topped 30,000. Now, brethren, though I, maybe you, don't have a penny's worth of stock, that is something to watch, the growth of our nation and how much it has grown in financial numbers, if nothing else. You can look at production and everything else. God says it's something to watch. God tells us to watch. Watch what's going on. We don't live in a cocoon in God's church. We look at what's going on around the world. In just 1 week of the new administration, the stock market is already in shambles. And that has taken place over the little man who's trying to gain his share where the titans of commerce and industry have always prevailed. I don't completely understand selling short and what all is going on the stock market, but I know that a lot of people are concerned. The little man's even going after the huge markets. Small business confidence over the last 4 years hit a new high. People believed that they could build, that they could work, that they could produce, that they could make money. Manufacturing optimism nearly doubled over what it was just 4 years ago. Business confidence was higher in America than in any other of the G7 or European Union countries. One blessing I particularly appreciated was the loosening of the heavy-handed control of the government. One of the previous administration's accomplishments was to successfully roll back the burdensome regulatory overreach, allowing for tremendous expansion of our God-given natural resources. American farming and agriculture have had a friend in the White House, but no more. The list of administration accomplishments over the last 4 years is long. I could go on and on. But brethren, there was a great awakening taking place. Our country became safer. Outer space was opened up for exploration. Our national defense was greatly enhanced. America fought for a free and democratic world in which the people chose their leaders by honest voting. We worked for that. We wanted to expand the democratic way. Americans no longer had to apologize to other nations for our national exceptionalism. Those are blessings from God. We Americans, we didn't do that. Some people think, oh, we did that by our hand. No, we didn't, brethren. We Americans did not do that. America is still God's people, Israel. So is England and the associated countries. It was God who opened the gates of heaven for our abundant blessings. Brethren, all of that and much more is about to change. 10 days ago, a new administration came to rule in America. The Great Reset is at the door. Let me repeat that, brethren. The Great Reset is at the door. That means there are some big changes in the wind. Some of them are already taking place rapidly. Brethren, in case you have not noticed it, there is a great juggernaut, a huge, powerful, overwhelming force against God, against law, against godliness, descending on our nation. This force is a malignant tsunami sweeping America away and bringing in the great darkness of a communist-style socialism in its wake. This is the most serious national crisis we have ever faced. I heard Dr. Peter Navarro say that just last week. The most serious national crisis we have ever faced. The new administration wishes to dilute God's blessings of nationalism. They wish to become globalists. Xi Jinping, president of the People's Republic of China, proclaimed last week at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, and I quote, "There is only one earth and one shared future for humanity." I'm going to repeat that, brethren. This is from the president of China, Xi Jinping. "There is only one earth and one shared future for humanity." Brethren, that is known as globalism, not nationalism, as God has blessed our nation and the nation of England. It's globalism, one for all and all for one in the entire earth. Brethren, God has not blessed the entire earth as he has blessed this nation. This entire earth is not Ephraim and Manasseh. It's not receiving the blessings that God promised to Abraham for his offspring. And you can make a note and study about it, brethren. Globalism will be the foundation for the beast power. China plans to lead the world into the future. And too many of our Washington bureaucrats have linked their future and their retirement to China by not recognizing God as the giver of our blessings. The globalists insist that America has become great at the expense of other nations. We took it from them. We enslaved them. Brethren, don't believe that. Believe God, not the fake news media. We just saw what America and Britain have done for the nations of the world in God's Word. We saw it just a moment ago. You don't have to turn back there. Genesis 22:18. And in your children, Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Everyone in the entire earth has been blessed by Great Britain or America. You can just look at the rail lines, the airways, the government, the communications that Great Britain brought around the earth. And that is supported by the United States. The world is being blessed by America and Great Britain. It's not the other way around. We haven't taken from the world and left them in poverty for our gain. It's not that way. America and Britain have not become great at the expense of other nations. Jesus tells us to watch. I believe, brethren, I know, I feel that one of the things we need to watch as the globalists reduce the birthright nations of Ephraim and Manasseh to the status of third world countries, we need to take note of that. What they have in mind for the United States will relegate us to a much lower standard. We won't have the production, we won't have the power, we won't have the law, we won't have the order, we won't have the institutions of transportation. You can go on and on. That is their goal. I don't know why they want to be that way. It doesn't follow. It doesn't make sense. But that's what they want to do. Now, some of you are thinking, that's never going to happen. That will never happen. You say that because you do not know your biblical history of how Assyria and Babylon once took Israel and Judah into captivity. It's happened already. Those things happened for our admonition, we're told in Corinthians. You know, if you could go back, we can't, we don't have a time machine, but if we could go back and be a part of Israel and a part of Judah, those people were as smart as us. They were as industrious as us. They were God's people. God blessed them. God gave them the promised land. They were altogether blessed as we are today. Israel and Judah were prosperous. They were industrious, but they didn't continuously serve God. They profaned the Sabbath. They practiced idolatry. And some of you might say, that's a little familiar. Our nation doesn't keep the Sabbath. And we practice an awful lot of idolatry. God was displeased with Israel and Judah back then, wasn't he? He let them go into captivity. God is displeased with America and England today for the exact same reasons, the very same reasons. God has recorded in the scriptures the demise of Israel and Judah. They're our ancestors because the same thing is about to happen to us. It's not going to go on and on and on, all roses and peaches. It's not going to happen that way. The same thing is going to happen to us that happened to our forefathers. Israel went into captivity. Judah went into captivity. And as you look at the history of those nations, there were no good kings in all of Israel. Go back and look at them. You can go through all the kings. They're listed, every single one of them, one by one. And there was no good king for Israel. Now, Judah, on the other hand, had a few good kings. That was so that God's word and God's name could go forward. But for the most part, it was like the administration that we have right now. There were no good kings in Israel. The same thing is going to happen to us that happened to them. Go back and read how they went into captivity, how they were blinded, how hooks were put in their jaws, how they were led away with their children being killed off. It's terrible. It's almost too bad to mention, but you can read Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 and see what lies ahead for us. We've spoken about that recently. As I look at America today, you and I, we grew up in America. When I was a kid, we'd walk down the dusty roads and enjoy it. And now all the roads are paved. Things have grown fast. But personally, brethren, I did not think that things pertaining to godliness could go so wrong so fast in our country as they have. And they have really picked up speed. We have gone over the precipice. We've gone over the cliff. We are in deep decline. Oh, maybe you don't feel it yet. It's only been 10 days, not even 2 weeks. But things are going wrong fast. It's been telegraphed, their move, what they said they were going to do. And don't believe what they say they're going to do because they lie. We'll talk about that a little bit more. We'll turn to some scriptures that say they are lying. They told us, oh, we're not going to get rid of the XL pipeline. We're not going to get rid of fracking. 1 week, with the swipe of a pen, there goes the XL pipeline. With the swipe of a pen, there goes fracking. Brethren, those are our national blessings that God gave to us. They are for the latter days, so we preach the gospel to the world. Politics, government, financial markets, epidemics, religion, everything has become so unstable, so volatile. Pick any one of them. Look at government, very volatile. Financial markets, who knows what Monday morning will bring. Epidemics, who knows when the next terrible strain is going to come. Religion, how long will we be able to preach the gospel? We were praying for 4 more years to preach the gospel. It is going to be more difficult. When we see the censuring, I'll mention this a couple of times today, when we see the censuring of national leaders and corporations and good old American people, how far can the censuring of our faith and our religion be off? You know, we keep the Sabbath. We're different from everybody else in this world. We're going to be targeted, brethren. How soon will this volatility constitute a crisis? You might say, I'm still going where I want to go. No crisis yet. Make no mistake about it. Momentous things are taking place. Some of them are irreversible. We'll never get them back. Some of them are existential. That means we depend on them for our survival. Our nation's future is at stake. It is more than unsettling. If we realize what's going on, Jesus Christ tells us to watch. Keep your eyes open. This isn't about politics. It's about the survival of our nation, the recognition of the great God that blessed us. Now, the new administration is talking about unity. While unity is being heralded, extraordinary disunity and division are the reality engulfing our nation. It's incredible how we are at loggerheads with one another. People can't even declare where they stand and what they hope for. The disunity is so great. There is an us and them as never before. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 6. Never in our nation have I seen so much hate and bitterness and vitriol as that which we see in the media and in the new administration. They're out for revenge. They're out to destroy, to eradicate, to neutralize, to nullify. Our U.S. National Capitol building in Washington, D.C. has become an armed camp, a fortress, fortified with soldiers, surrounded with high fences, barbed wire. What for? It's against an imagined insurrection of a mob of citizens that never materialized. They're not out there. They're not coming. Get the machine guns out and mow them down. What a horrible attitude. Mow down the good citizens of America. This new administration is living in fear. Fear of their own shadow. Their godless and lawless approach has allowed Antifa and Black Lives Matter to riot and burn and incite their own insurrection at the U.S. National Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Contrary to all of their claims, there is no growing national security threat from the supporters of the last administration. That is not who America is. The administration knows who those people really were. I believe with all my heart that they were in cahoots, that they worked together. But note this, through phone tracking technology, the FBI was able to track every single member of those radical groups as they battered down the doors at the U.S. National Capitol building in Washington, D.C. The FBI, they know who broke out the windows, but brethren, we'll never know. So we do see they're scared of their own shadow. They brought it upon themselves. Jeremiah 6 in verse 19. God knew this was going to happen. God knew this was going to take place. God knew when it was going to take place. God is in control. We don't have to fear. Jeremiah 6 in verse 19. Hear, O earth. This is a broad proclamation for the whole world. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. Even the fruit of their own thoughts. It's in their own heads. God's going to bring evil on them because they have not hearkened to my words nor my law, but rejected it. It is God who says, I will bring evil on this people. That's who they should fear. They're not going to hearken to the words of God. They don't believe the words of God. The Bible is one of the things that they've tried hard to get rid of it while they're getting rid of the Ten Commandments everywhere. In the schools, at the courthouses. Brethren, do we think that God will not keep His word? God is saying, I will bring evil on these people. So, we don't even have to think about it. Evil is coming upon these people. It's said and done. We are living in the last days of America. Deuteronomy 28. Brethren, we have the blessings and the cursing chapters, as I mentioned a while ago. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And we're going to look at some of the curses that God's going to bring because He just said in Jeremiah, I will bring evil upon this people. You know that putting up all that barbed wire in Washington, D.C. is no more than an old-fashioned trick. It's psychological warfare. They set up a mere straw man to direct attention away from their own ineptness. There's nobody coming to scale those fences and to storm those chambers in the U.S. Capitol. The new regime in Washington, D.C. trusts in a fortress, physical fortresses. They set them up about them with soldiers and barbed wire fences, as we're seeing. But God says their fortification will not protect them one bit, not at all. Brethren, let me ask you a question. You can hold up your hands. How many of you speak fluent Mandarin Chinese? You didn't see my hand go up. In fact, I didn't see any hands go up. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 49, God says, The Lord shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the ends of the earth, from on the other side of the earth. And this nation will be as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue, whose language you shall not understand. I sure don't understand it. Verse 50, a nation of fierce countenance. Right now, China is trying to have the world's hegemony. They want to be the most powerful, the strongest, the greatest navy, the greatest air force. They're really making great strides in space. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. They don't care. Let me ask you another question, brethren. How many cows does it take to feed a 200 million man army? Just something to think about. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 51, speaking of this enemy that's coming to America, to Great Britain. He shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land until you be destroyed. Not enough to make a single hamburger left over. Which also shall not leave you either corn or wine or oil or the increase of thy kind. When it says of the increase of that kind, it means there's not going to be a steak left in America. No more barbecues. Or flocks of sheep. Until he has destroyed you. That's what they come to do. They're not like America. When America conquered Germany, when America conquered Japan, we boosted them, we built them, we made them strong, we protected them. That's not the way it's going to be with the heathen. It's not the way it's going to be with the Gentile. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 52. And he, whoever this is, you can fill in which country you think it is. If you don't think it's China, if you think it's Brazil, or maybe you think it's Paraguay, he shall besiege you in all your gates until your high and fenced walls come down. They're not protection against anyone or anything. I told my wife when we were looking at those fences, I used to be in the structural steel business. We could have cut through that fence in maybe 2 minutes for everybody to go through. Those fences are nothing. They don't stop mosquitoes. They don't stop people. They don't stop vehicles. Until your high and fenced walls come down, wherein you trusted. God's saying, that's not what you trust in. You trust in God Almighty throughout all your land. And this enemy shall besiege you in all the gates throughout your land, which the Lord your God has given you. Yet God has made us strong. God has made us powerful. God has given us the mountains and the seas about us. Let's go over to Isaiah 59. We're looking at what God says is going to happen. America is not going to exist forever. Just not. Title of this sermon today is The Last Days of America. They're coming. Brethren, I can't put a number on it. Why don't you try to put a number on it? Sometimes I do. I try to put a number on it. We live in a world where you can't trust what you hear and you can't trust what you read. We have to have the spirit of discernment. We have to ask God to show us and tell us what's true. The media and the new administration, they lie about everything. Isaiah 59 and verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. We are a sinful nation. And as for our iniquities, we know them. We in God's church certainly know them when we look around. We know that they're not doing things God's way. They don't keep the Sabbath. They don't go to the feast. They do put up idols in everything, in many ways. Verse 13, talking about our iniquities, we know them, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. That's what we get from the media. That's what we get from the new administration. Falsehood. It's here in the words of God. Brethren, for 4 years, all we heard was Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all a lie. It was a manufactured scandal. And it's still being churned. Like, well, hey, I heard about that so long, it must be a fact. They all knew it was contrived. They all knew that it was lies. They just profited on it. And you look at this new administration, they were all in on it. Every one of them, sadly, was in on it. From the Justice Department, to the FBI, to the media. All words of falsehood as a result of a rotten government system. Many innocent victims never received justice. There are men today that have gone to jail, that have lost their homes, that have lost their sustenance, lost their jobs. They have not received justice. Justice was not to be found. Lies and falsification to the FISA court. That's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISA. We've heard a lot about it for 4 years. They lied, but they were brought to justice. What was the justice? It brought probation and a $100 fine for the millions of dollars that were spent on this Russia hoax. A $100 fine and probation. No jail time. Is that justice, brethren? Isaiah 59 and verse 14. Let's see what God says about justice. Isaiah 59 and verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, upside down and backward. And justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. You can't bring in a just judgment. Nobody's going to hear you. Nobody's going to give you court time. Let me give you an example. Every single attempt to get lawful votes counted has failed in the courts, all the way to the Supreme Court. When someone tries to do it the right way, they follow the law. They are the ones who come under brutal attack. Wonder if God knew that was going to happen. Isaiah 59, next verse, 15. Yeah, truth fails. And he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. You don't go along with the bad guys, you're the victim. He that departs from evil, the good guys, he makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it. I wonder how God felt about that. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. Yes, brethren, I read here in the scriptures that God is displeased with our government. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles 7. There's a verse here that's been mentioned many, many times. Why is all this rot and wrong taking place in our great country? The answer is because we have turned our collective back on God. We have not repented, not as a nation. We're not entirely pleasing to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, a verse that has become very familiar recently. I'll just go all the way through it and then we'll comment on it. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. But brethren, our land is not being healed. Our land is being destroyed. Notice this verse again. If my people called by my name, who is that? I don't think that's Tennessee. I don't think that's Arkansas. Who are God's people called by God's name? Brethren, we are the people of God. We are called by the name of God. The church, brethren. My people called by my name includes the church of God, brethren, who unfortunately right now are scattered in disunity. Is God pleased with that? No, we just read back here. It displeased him. This displeases God when things aren't going God's way. God's not pleased with those who place their church organization over Christ's desire that we all be one. One in spirit, one in brotherly love. Go back and read John 17. All of it. Five places Jesus Christ prayed before he died that they may be one. Too much for us, brethren. Church organizations trump God. They take the place of what God wants. In the face of this onslaught that's coming down upon America right now, how much longer can we expect to enjoy our constitutional freedom of religion in this country? It's at the door, brethren. We've seen unjust examples of people being silenced, shut down. Even COVID is being used to keep people away from church services. Anything to control God's people. Make no mistake about it, brethren, we are in a constitutional crisis of biblical proportions. Oh yeah, maybe in just 10 days, it hasn't dawned on us as much as it's going to. Maybe right now would be a good time to get a folder or a three-ring binder and keep track of the violations of God's law that are taking place daily, multiple times daily. God said, don't do it that way. So what do? We do it that way. How much longer will we have freedom of religion? Do you know that over half of the country no longer trusts their congressmen? They no longer trust the FBI. They no longer trust the CIA, nor the Attorney General, who lied and lied and lied. There ain't nothing there. And he's sitting in the catbird's chair. They no longer represent the people. That's why they're not trusted. They don't care about the small man. They cover for one another. They serve themselves, yeah. They serve special interest groups, certainly. But brethren, understand this. We Americans no longer enjoy a government for the people and by the people. Our representatives do not represent us. They don't stand for what we believe. Some states have 70% voting for one thing, and their representative votes for just the opposite. It's a horrible sin. The voice of the people is not heard. So Jesus said, watch therefore. He said that in Matthew 24 and verse 42. We're not going to go there. We're going to go over to Mark 13. But it is Jesus said, be on the lookout. Keep an eye out. Keep your mind open. Discern with godly discernment. When speaking of the day and hour of his return to this earth, Jesus instructed us to watch and pray so that we are not overtaken unawares. There are those in God's church who are unaware of any of this that I've mentioned today. They think all things continue for the good, and we're about to see unity in our nation. Mark 13 and verse 32. Of that day and that hour knows no man. So when I say the last days of America, I don't know the hour. I don't know the day. No, not the angels are in heaven. They don't know either. Neither the Son of God, but the Father. He knows. Jesus said that when he was on the earth. But here's what he says, Mark 13 and verse 33. You take heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. Brethren, what are we to watch for? What are we to pray for? We know that just before Jesus returns, the entire population of the earth will agonize in immeasurable travail in the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. That's Jeremiah 30 in verse 7. Alas, for that day is great. How great is it? It's so great that none is like it. The worst time in history. Brethren, it's within reach. It's close. I used to say, us, or our children, or our grandchildren. I feel it's closer than that. And brethren, make no mistake about it. The true church of God, the brethren, are also in the crosshairs. The new administration is going after us. They hate religion. They look at us as Bible-toting, unkempt, unclean, unknowing, not worth their time. We're in their crosshairs. God is not pleased with our nation. Has our Creator God begun to remove the blessings of national greatness that He promised to Abraham back in Genesis 12 and verse 2? Who do you know in this nation? Do you know anybody in this nation who has ever given God the credit for our exceptionalism? Why are we so great? Why are we so inventive? Why are we so rich? Why are we so powerful? Why have we conquered one World War I, one World War II? Does anybody give God the credit for our exceptionalism? If we can think it, we can build it. On the other hand, in recent days, we have witnessed massive and widespread censorship of citizens in violation of their free speech rights secured by the First Amendment. You know what's going to happen next? They'll be shutting down Reddit. Let me spell it for you, R-E-D-D-I-T. I had to look it up. Never heard of it before last week. The next thing, they will be shutting down Reddit, a social news aggregation that tries to hold their own against the titans of big tech, commerce, industry, and Silicon Valley, the ones that have ruled the New York Stock Exchange and all the exchanges around the world. Some smaller little people came in, get their share. I'm not a part of that, brethren. But you watch the heavy hand of government and who it comes down against. We have entered an unprecedented time. Seems to me that we've come to a major pivot point in our nation from which we may well not recover. The voices of the citizenship are being censured and silenced as a prelude to the eradication of the practice of our religious freedom. My prayer has been recently for 4 more years to preach the gospel. Brethren, I wouldn't bet you a plug nickel that we've got 4 more years. What would happen if we weren't going out on the airwaves right now? What would happen? Let's go over to John chapter 9. In the Constitution of the United States of America, the First Amendment says, in part, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But we have an administration that the Constitution means nothing to. They trample on the Constitution. They trample on the flag. They trample on God's law. Jesus foretold this time when the gospel would no longer be preached in these last days of America. All efforts to preach the gospel are going to be censured and prohibited. Let's look at the Word of God. Don't take my word for it. What will happen when we can't tune in anywhere? Let me just hearken back. I was newly married in 1964. I'd only been married a year. And I was traveling through the back roads of Mississippi early, early one morning. It was still dark. And I heard The World Tomorrow. Not just on one station. I could pick it up on 5 or 6 stations early in the morning. Clear channels coming out of Mexico. Powerful channels coming out of New Orleans and Little Rock. What will happen when we can't tune in anywhere? Not on the radio, not on the television, not on the internet, not any way at all. Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of Him, speaking of God the Father, that sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no man can work. No man will be able to preach the gospel. Isaiah 55, God tells us that we are fast running out of time. Brethren, how do we prepare for such a day? How much longer will we have the opportunity to preach the gospel to all creation? We've come to the point where we exist in a house of cards. You ever play that game where you stack up cards and make a house of cards? That's America today, ready to collapse in a moment. Everything is going to collapse. Every system that we know of is going to fail. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, we're told, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him. You call upon Him while He is near. Okay, we can still do it, brethren. That's great. Let's go over to Amos chapter 8 and find out what's going to happen. Brethren, what will you do personally when the airwaves and the internet and the printing presses are all silenced? Will you hunger and thirst for God's Word? What's your fallback position? If you got up on Sabbath, no tapes, no internet, no church services in town, what's your fallback position? We read in Amos 8 and verse 10. Here's what God says. I will turn your feast into mourning, weeping, sorrowing, and all your songs into a lamentation, a funeral dirge. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son. Just like if you went to the funeral of your only son. In the end thereof, as a bitter day. Verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. That's a terrible thought. Nothing to eat. Wait, it says, not a famine of food or bread, nor a thirst for water. What kind of famine then? But of hearing the words of the Lord. That would be terrible, brethren. That would be like being in the hole, being in solitary confinement, being in jail, locked away, where you never hear, never read, never see. The word of God is not mentioned. Verse 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. It's gone. It's shut down. It's censured. It's closed. It's not mentioned. Maybe they'll have big book burnings and round up the Bibles and try to burn every one of them on earth. They won't succeed, but they'll try it. Verse 13. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. What kind of thirst, brethren? Thirst for God's Spirit, a thirst for the Word of God. Today, we think that we have need of nothing. We have everything that we need. We have thousands of sermons. We have 10,000s of articles at our fingertips. God says, don't count on that. Just put in your notes Revelation 3 and verse 17. Because you say, I'm rich, increased with goods, don't need anything. Don't rest your loins on that, brethren. God is warning the church, brethren. Psalms chapter 2. All fury is being rapidly unleashed by the radical executive decrees against our nation. With a stroke of a pen, it's happening as we speak. There were more than 40 of them last week that I know of. Executive orders allow almost unchecked power to establish a socialist-style rule on America. The rulers are gathered against the Lord and against His Messiah. You can put down in your notes Acts 4 in verse 26. But we're not going to turn there. We're going to read where it's quoted from back in the book of Psalms. Psalms 2, verses 1 and 2. Why does the heathen rage? That's the new administration being spoken of. Why do the people imagine a vain thing? something that's not going to last. It's like smoke in the air. It disappears. It's a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, you might say the presidents and the leaders, they set themselves, and the rulers take counsel. Oh, that's good to take counsel, isn't it? Not this way. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord. That is horrific. That's what they're doing in Washington, D.C. right now. They take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, against Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Brethren, make no mistake about it. The curse that is about to descend upon our head defies imagination. It's greater than we think. With a great majority in the legislative branch approving of it, election fraud is here to stay. It remains unchecked. Psalm chapter 14. From now on, no one's vote will ever count for anything because voter fraud has now been accepted and institutionalized. Except for a very small handful. They've all bought into government-sponsored voter fraud. It's accepted. It's institutionalized. It's counted on. That's the wave of the future. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Is there anybody, anywhere in government, in the new administration, that understands and seeks God? They are all gone aside. They're all gone astray. This is the word of God. They are all together become filthy. There is none that does good. No, not one. When those votes come out, no, 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 lockstep, no, no, no. There is none that does good. No, not one. Isaiah chapter 1. We don't like to think of America like that. We like to think of America as strong and brave and fearless, that indomitable American spirit. But brethren, with enough beating down with the hammer, the heavy hand of government, that indomitable American spirit is being overwhelmed and quashed to the extent that it may not rise again. Government corruption is endemic in this rigged system. The fix is in. CCP, if you haven't picked up on that, that's Chinese Communist Party. CCP influence and incursion is so widespread in Washington, D.C. that every institution is in imminent danger. The whole head is sick. Let's read that. Let's let God tell us that the whole head is sick. God is speaking about what is going on right now. Isaiah 1 and verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children are their corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. Brethren, God is angry at what is going on. The Holy One of Israel has been provoked into anger. They are all gone away backward. Verse 5. Let's read and see if God thinks there is somebody in Washington, D.C. that's thinking straight. Isaiah 1 and verse 5. Why should you be stricken anymore? Why isn't everything peaches and cream again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole head of government, the whole head of Congress, the legislature, the Supreme Court, everybody. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Edmund Burke paraphrased Proverbs 24:11 this way. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. So the problem we face is that good men are able and can forget that truth, justice, freedom, and honor are principles and virtues worth dying for. When I think back to the founding fathers, when I think back of the men who died for this country, who fought for this country, for years around the world and in this nation and on our soil. They believed in truth and justice and freedom and honor. We're the people that try to stand up for those virtues, those principles today. Let's talk about something that is particularly foul-smelling in the nostrils of God. Taxpayers' funds are being used, not only in America, but around the globe. American taxes are being used around the globe to promote the abortion of innocence. Now, we know God tells us to choose life, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. But here's what's going on with the new administration. This has happened already. We're 10 days into the new administration today. Rescinding the previous administration's pro-life policies and laws, the new regime is deeply committed to making sure everyone has access to abortion. Even if the Supreme Court reverses Roe v. Wade, and we've heard talk that maybe if we had a righteous Supreme Court, they might reverse Roe v. Wade, and we would save millions upon tens of millions of lives. But the new administration is second-guessing that. They are instituting means so that even if the Supreme Court says no more abortion, there will still be abortion. Making abortion the law of the land, the new regime is committed to codifying Roe v. Wade and appointing judges that respect, I put that in quotes for myself, they respect foundational precedents like Roe. What that's saying is they are going to write law, they're going to write code that says even if the Supreme Court says you can't, you can, and the judges will back it up. So the law means nothing to them. God means nothing to them. Law means nothing to them. Constitution means nothing to them. And sadly, the Supreme Court, by its silence in a number of issues, just in the last weeks or months, they don't realize it maybe, but they've committed political suicide. A stacked court is political suicide. The new regime has promised a stacked court, speaking of the Supreme Court. But what is that going to do? That will render the Supreme Court to be diluted and useless, merely a pawn, merely a tool for the ruling majority. Look at the obvious signs of how our national leaders have rejected godliness. I've mentioned some of these, but let's go over them. The Ten Commandments are looked down upon with utter contempt, especially God's Sabbath rest. One-parent homes are the norm. Children grow up being raised by an irreligious state. They'll take your kids away from you if you don't do it the way the state says. Same-sex unions are politically correct. Out-of-wedlock births are the norm. Millions of abortions of precious God-given life that never entered the mind of God are taking place. Why is God not pleased with what's going on in America? Brethren, you and I know that every life is a gift of our great God, and the taking of that life, no matter how early or how late, is murder. It's a violation of the Ten Commandments. Let's go over to Jeremiah 19. I don't know if you feel it, brethren. I do. Right now, the dam of moral restraint has broken entirely. There's a flood of godliness coming over us. Anything and everything goes. Jeremiah 19, verses 4 and 5, breaking into the thought in verse 4. They have filled this place with the blood of innocence. It's all the way back in Jeremiah, and it's happening today. You can get beat up if you stand in front of an abortion clinic and say, let's do it God's way. They will beat you to the ground. Continuing in Jeremiah 19, verses 4 and 5. They have built up also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal. That's the way they aborted their children back then. Which I commanded not, nor spoke it, neither came it into my mind. So, brethren, that's where we are. God is not pleased with the direction of our country. That's not my estimation. That's the declared direction that the new regime has put out there. They are out to destroy everything. The Great Reset. Turn it around. Not the great nation that God has given us for over 200 years. Turn it around. Go the way of socialism. And brethren, if you don't know that socialism is stealing, study it. To take from one person that's worked for it and give it to another person that hasn't is stealing. To do that on a national level or a global level is very, very harmful. It will not survive. It hasn't ever worked. It's never worked where it's been tried. They want to try it again on our nation. How foolish. God is not pleased. God is displeased with where we are going. I believe we're in the last days of America. What should we be doing? We should be watching. That'll give us some options. We should be praying. Oh God, what should we do? What should we say? When should we take a stand? When should we lay our lives down? I don't know where to stand in Washington, D.C. I don't know where to stand in front of the national capitol. I don't know where to stand in front of the White House. I don't know where to stand over at the Pentagon. Everything's a mess. It's going the wrong way. This is not an encouraging sermon. This is just stating the facts. This is where we are. We should be on our knees saying, "Oh God, save us. Oh God, show us the way." The people of God know the answers. The people of God can discern the times. We know what we're up against. I believe repentance should start at the church of God. I don't believe America is going to repent. They can't repent. Our nation doesn't have God's Spirit. If we would repent and turn to God, our land would be healed. They can't repent, but we do. We have God's Spirit. We can repent. Our churches should be healed. Brethren, I ask each one of you, within the sound of my voice, to diligently keep the doors of communication open to everyone that you've ever known in God's church. Not to get them out of their organization. Let them have their foolish organizations. But help them turn to God. Look to God. Look to His Word. Look to the way of Christ. Walk in His steps. Reach out, brethren. Maybe that's the job that God's given us time to accomplish. Reach out to all that you know. Try to show godly love. Don't let down. Don't join in with them in their dissimilitude. Whatever you do, stand for God, stand for His way, stand for His love, so that we might be one. That's what Jesus Christ asks us to do. Let's be one and approach God in oneness. Brethren, that concludes today's sermon.